And hello, everybody. Here we are, Season 2, Episode 6, Roped In. I'm your host, John Roper. Today, I've got one of my good friends on, Spencer Harris. Going to be talking about the NFL mock draft. We're going to be talking about our first round and picks 1 through 32, how we think it's going to go down. Kind of got a little carried away. We had a lot of fun talking about it, so it's a super long segment. So it's going to take a majority of today's episode. But I'm also going to be talking about a bit of a sports roundup in the Formula One race that happened in Australia, because something that happened for the first time in about 50 plus races happened in Australia. So you're going to want to sit tight and hear that. And then I'm also going to be doing a little bit of a roundup on what's happened in March Madness so far, because that's been kind of the sporting news that's taken over the world. So without further ado, sit back, relax, and let's get right into it. So on today's sports roundup, I'm going to be first talking about the Formula One race that happened down under, down in Australia. In Victoria, for me, it happened at 9 p.m. I love the time difference on there. So it happened at 9 p.m. I did kind of fall asleep a little bit here and there throughout it. It's a long, long event, but it had its exciting moments. So I want to talk about it a little bit because, again, as I mentioned in the intro, for the first time in 50 plus races, Max Verstappen did not finish a race. So in qualifying, it started off Max Verstappen, like always, had that pole spot. Carlos Sainz had number 2 in the Ferrari car. Sergio Perez, number 3. Lando Norris, 4. And Charles Leclerc round out number 5. And because I'm a McLaren fan, Oscar Piastri was number 6. So first off, looking at that, as my father has said a couple of times, and I'm kind of inclined to agree, maybe Ferrari's going to regret or have made a mistake in the driver they're giving up. And Carlos Sainz is really looking like a good driver. And he's putting some good things on his resume, putting some good things under the belt to try and secure his seat for the future. Because Ferrari, again, is moving on for Lewis Hamilton. So that's the big and shocking and exciting news on that side. But again, that was the qualifying. I don't think it necessarily surprised people. Perez had a grid penalty, which bumped Lando Norris up into a podium position to start the race. So it was Verstappen, Sainz, and Norris, with Leclerc and Piastri running out the top 5 to actually start the race with Checo's grid penalty. So right away into the race, Sainz actually made a pretty good move, and he overtook Verstappen. Now, to me, it's only a matter of time before Verstappen really takes away. But Sainz was making it an actual competition early on as well, and not just letting him walk away with it. But then Verstappen, early on, had car trouble. So it's not that he crashed or anything. He had car trouble. He, by forces out of his control, was knocked out of this race. It was a huge shocker, because then I perk up. I started to get really interested. My roommate starts to get into it, because at this point, it's a race. Max Verstappen is no longer racing, ladies and gentlemen, which means it's anybody's game. Now, Carlos Sainz, again, at this point, had the lead. Now, a bit of a spoiler here. Carlos Sainz turned into the Max Verstappen. Carlos Sainz kept the lead and never gave it up. It never really became a battle for that first place. There was a couple of different strategic moves that teams did, which I liked, that tried to compete for it. But Carlos Sainz had the number one spot, I think, from lap 2 or 3, and never let go. Leclerc finished second, so Ferrari went 1-2. I think that was really, really big for them. They've got a good car. I think they've just got to get the strategy behind it for them to be able to compete, and Red Bull's just too dominant of a team. But they've got a good car there, so I like that 1-2. And then Lando Norris was number 3 for my McLaren. Now, Lando Norris and Piastri had some good kind of strategic things back and forth. Lando Norris was on tires that were about 5 years younger, so he overtook Piastri at one point to try and chase down Leclerc. Now, he never ended up getting Leclerc, but he was the faster driver, so I think that was a smart enough move. But those are the Piastri fans are not going to think it was a smart move and think that, well, if Norris couldn't track him down, why couldn't Piastri have the opportunity? Checo, with his grid penalty, fall all the way down. Then he climbed his way up, and I think he ended up finishing 5th. So he finished 5th, with Piastri finishing 4th. And again, Norris third, Leclerc second, and Sainz taking home the top spot. So for the first time in a super long time, Red Bull is not on the podium. Crazy, crazy exciting news. So yeah, that was fun to watch. But again, it wasn't a super exciting in terms of a lot of things happening. I think a dramatic moment was there was a huge crash halfway through the race that caused George Russell to just be halfway through the track. He was shouting for a red flag from the box. It was kind of scary watching live, but they had it all sorted. It was all safe. They got it all worked out. But again, the exciting news was not seeing Verstappen win, and it was seeing Carlos Sainz take home that win. And who knows, Ferrari might have made that mistake. Moving on, continuing on my bit of a mini roundup, I'm going to be talking about the March Madness. Now, I'm going to be doing a deep dive into it later on when all of these matchups are done, because again, I'm recording this during some matchups that are going on in the round of 32 for both men's and women's. Second day of round of 32 for men's, or round of 16. No, yeah, round of 16, and then first day of round of 16 for women's because they started a day later. But on the men's side, the crazy stories. Oakland. I think Oakland took the country by storm. They beat Kentucky, so they were a 14th seed that beat a 3 seed. Jack Gehlke, or Gehlke, I'm pronouncing that name wrong. He has absolutely taken the world by storm. The funny stat, he has attempted 327 three-pointers this year and 8 two-pointers. He, I think, tied a record for the most 3 points through two games of the NCAA championship, but Oakland ended up losing, so he can't go on to continue to break records. But they took the world by storm with what they did beating Kentucky. That was fun to watch. Yale beating Auburn. Those Ivy League schools always seem to put up some kind of competition in the tournament. I didn't think they were going to beat Auburn, and they did it. They beat them, so that was really good. Grand Canyon and James Madison were the two other big ones. 2 12 seed that beats 5 seed. So Grand Canyon beat St. Mary's, and James Madison beat Wisconsin. Those were huge upsets. So those were kind of the big upsets in the first round that I think broke a lot of people's brackets. Duquesne had a massive comeback as well. That was another huge first round story. So Duquesne, I think, had either the biggest or the second biggest comeback in NCAA history in like the final 10 minutes of the game. They were down 16 with like 8 minutes left, and they ended up winning the game. It was absolutely huge. Now, I'm not going to condone this, but I'm going to say because it happened in my life. I had a nice little bet going that I thought Duquesne was going to lose, so I cashed out the bet, and then Duquesne ended up winning. Turns out other teams on that bet lost, so I wasn't going to win the whole thing. But boy, did I feel bad for a few hours there because I thought that I just lost out on $2,000. Turned it out, I didn't. I actually made $3 out of the bet. Now, all of this being said, I do not condone betting. I'm not going to say do it. It's not the greatest thing, but I'm having fun doing it. I have play money. So yeah, it's something that I enjoy doing because it adds a little bit of excitement to it on money that I would normally spend on alcohol or other dumb things. I put on this for the entertainment. NC State is a team that's gone pretty far on the men's side that I really like. I mentioned this before. DJ Burns was the big player that I was watching. He watched Hakeem Olajuwon but had the body of Zach Randolph. So watching him, they've won two games in a row, which I predicted on my bracket. So that was absolutely amazing to watch. But again, I've talked about the underdogs, but the teams that looked really, really good, UConn, UNC, and Arizona all look very, very good. Now, UConn and Arizona have only played one game. They're both playing today on Sunday, March 24th. But those were the three teams I think are really, really good. And UConn has not wavered in my thought and my prediction on who I thought was going to win. I truly think that UConn's going to do it. I think Donovan Kliganen, whatever. Their big man is the best big man in the tournament, and their team is too versatile, diverse, well-rounded of a team. I think they're going to win it. But yeah, other exciting matchups actually yesterday. So NC State went to overtime, which was really, really exciting. And the game right after that was Creighton versus, was it Oakland? I think it was Creighton versus Oakland. And Creighton ended up going to double overtime. Just kidding. Creighton didn't beat Oakland. That's not who it was. I can't remember who it was, but Creighton went into double overtime and they ended up winning that one. So that would have been a huge big one there because I think a lot of people thought Creighton could go pretty far and they won. So they did go pretty far, but having a double OT following a single OT was super exciting, really, really fun to watch. Now, over to the women's side, not as exciting in the sense of upsets didn't happen. So Middle Tennessee is the team that upset Louisville. Crazy big one. They were another 3 upsetting 14, I think, or is it an 11 upsetting whatever rank Louisville would have been, 11 versus 6. I think it was 11 versus 6. So that was huge for Middle Tennessee right there. But, I mean, doing some research, Middle Tennessee, it's only the 3rd upset in the first round of the women's brackets. So upsets in the women's brackets do not happen often. So to see that happen was absolutely crazy. I wouldn't say there are any major stories that have happened because of it. All the favorites are proving to be favorites. Now, Juju on USC and Hidalgo on Notre Dame are proving to be 2 pretty good freshmen. Those were good names to watch there. But all the names that I wanted to watch are proving to be names that I wanted to watch. Caitlin Clark. The big girl out of South Carolina. Oh, my goodness. Camila Cardosa. Cameron Brink out of Stanford, Aaliyah Edwards from UConn. Actually, that's a lie. UConn's not in it. What am I saying? Aaliyah Edwards out of UConn. No, that's a lie. Paige Bookers is just returning. Aaliyah Edwards out of UConn has been really, really impressive to watch. So, you know, names, they've been really fun, but I can't say any major stories have happened. It's projected matchups that I think are going to be the fun ones to watch. So ones on the women's side that I'm excited to see would be USC versus UConn if that happens. South Carolina versus Notre Dame. Iowa versus LSU, all in the Elite Eight. Then moving on to the Final Four, if it works out the way, I think South Carolina versus Stanford could be a pretty good match, and Iowa versus USC could be a pretty good match. And then obviously, whoever I'm watching in the finals, I think is going to be a good match. But ultimately, South Carolina, Camila Cardoso, and that those Gamecocks, they are the ones that are going to win it. But yes, that's my mini roundup on the March Madness. I will do a deeper dive potentially on next week's episode or the one after, when more matchups have happened, but that's what have happened so far. Normally I would have more in a sports roundup, but again, the mock draft, I had a lot of fun with Spenny, so it went a little bit longer than expected, so this is the only other segment. And there you have it. That's the bit of a roundup on what's going on in John's sports world. And hello, everybody. We are now joined by my good friend. Say what's up to the people, Spencer.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, John.
Hey, no problem at all. Yeah. Spencer is my really, really good friend. We went to university together, Camosun College, and he's kind of my football guru, the guy I go to when I need my NFL information. So today he's joining me on the NFL mock draft. I'm not going to say we're going to go all out. We're going to be talking about the first round and then potential big names that fall out of the first round and things we want to go from there. As you all know, I'm an EAGL Eagles fan. Sorry, I didn't even spell that right. EAGLES Eagles fan.
There you go.
Spenny's a Seahawks fan. So, I mean, maybe we'll talk about things we want to see our teams do at the end. But to kick it off, we have a bit of a mock draft thing going, a tool on the go here. For those that don't know, I'm going to give it a little shout out. It's PFF. I think it's Pro Football
Focus.
Focus. Yeah. .com. But they've got a lot of fun little things going there. So starting off, number one, I don't think this is like a shocker to anybody. Chicago Bears are taking Caleb Williams.
Yep, 100%.
It might have been a – I'm not going to lie. I'm still on the side of I wanted them to keep Justin Fields. I think it's because I like Justin Fields too much. I wanted them to keep Justin Fields to trade down, do a little bit like what they did last year with Carolina and just completely rehaul, retool. At that point, you're going to be able to have Keenan Allen draft Marvin Harrison Jr. if you trade down short enough. Either way, Caleb Williams is now, because Justin Fields is there, I don't think it's any surprise who Chicago's taking.
Yeah, I feel like Chicago, with the pick they had at one, if they weren't to take Caleb and trade down, how far realistically are you going to trade down that you're kind of just hurting yourself and you're going to have to go down way too far or overtake somebody? So I think for them, it made the most sense just to send Justin to where he wanted to go in Pittsburgh, make these other trades, and now they're set up to give Caleb the best rookie like team around him that they from like a skill player position wise, I think that's like it forever.
Yeah,
So
I mean, you're right. They traded for Keelan Allen, so they already paired him out there with why am I keep forgetting his name?
DJ Moore,
DJ
and then
Moore. And then they signed DeAndre Swift, so they've got the weapons out there. Cole Kmet's a good tight end, so getting
yeah.
pick Caleb Williams there, I think it's a good one. So now moving on, Washington, they don't move around. They need a quarterback. This one, I actually think is going to surprise people. I think a lot of people have them taking Drake May. I actually want them take Jaden Daniels.
I agree. I think Jaden Daniels is more fun of a pick. I think Drake May is a bit more like
Yeah,
you
yes.
don't really know what you're getting because he kind of fits that like Zach Wilson mold of like he played at North Carolina. He's not playing SEC schools. He's more of a project. Maybe you don't take him or
I think
Ben
that's
Daniels.
exactly it. I also think Jaden Daniels just is more versatile of a player. Not to say he's Lamar Jackson. No one's going to be Lamar Jackson, but he's got the legs, and that's a dual threat quarterback that every rebuilding team needs. And he's a good enough person anyway. So Jaden Daniels, I'm glad that we both agree. Jaden Daniels goes number two to the Commanders, who I hope change their flipping name. I prefer them as the football team over the
I
Commanders.
know, right? Yeah, it's still never good.
But yeah, either way, then we're gonna have number three, New England. I think this one's also sealed. Maybe they could have potentially traded back, but now that they've traded Mac Jones to Jacksonville, it's a no doubter. They've taken the other guy we just talked about, Drake May. One, two, three, QB, QB, QB. I don't think this is a shocker to anybody as well. The thing that might flip is the Jaden Daniels and Drake May in people's books, but I think that's everybody's top three.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think it's any real surprise there. And then number four, moving on, here's where I've got Arizona again, staying at number four. I think some people have mocks, potentially them trading back. I've got them staying at four and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I think if you're going to pay Kyler Murray that much money and he's going to be your quarterback, get him some help, especially since you just traded away your who was your top receiver, not that he potentially acted like it. But Marquise Brown now gone. You need to get receiving help. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to Arizona.
Can you name another wide receiver right now for the Cardinals?
Not since they traded away Rondale Moore.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, like
They've
again,
got a
this
guy
is a
named
thing. Like
Wilson, and I only know that
Wilson,
because of Madden. He was the rookie last year.
wide
But no, I
receivers:
can't name a
Zach
receiver on their
Pascal,
team.
Greg Dortch, and is it Michael Wilson? Michael Wilson.
Jesus
They need wide
Christ.
receiver help
I mean,
bad.
Trey McBride, fantastic tight end. But
They kind of have the Trey McBride is going to be great. James Conner is a great fit on that team. But yeah, they
yeah, I mean,
need
they
wide
drafted a
receiver
lineman
help.
last year. I like James Conner. I think it's, yeah, they have to go with a receiver here. And Marvin Harrison Jr. is the generational talent for wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree.
So, number five, this one I think is actually going to be a bit of a shocker and a bit of contention for some people. We might kind of put a little bit of debate on this one, but I've got Minnesota actually trading up to the Chargers. So Minnesota recently, I don't know what the trade was, but they just recently picked up the 23rd pick. And they already had the 11th pick. So I actually believe that they're going to move up. They need that quarterback because Kirk Cousins has moved on. They move up, trade the 11 and the 23 to LA for five. And LA picks or LA drops back, and Minnesota gets their quarterback in JJ McCarthy, making it the fourth quarterback in the top five.
Seems like a lot to get JJ McCarthy there, but they need quarterback, so I think that's a very interesting trade. And for the Chargers, I don't really know what direction they're going to go now with Harbaugh there, but they need a lot more help, and they have a lot of aging, expensive veterans. So yeah, more picks for them, the better.
This one definitely makes sense for the Chargers more than it is the Vikings. Because, as
It
you're
does.
saying, the Vikings, that's a lot to give up. I mean, if you actually think about it, who's really picking a quarterback between five and where the Vikings were at 11? So it's tough that they're going to give up a lot. One of the reasons why I say they potentially do that is there's other teams right beneath, like Denver, Vegas. I wouldn't even see the Saints are fully solidified with Derek Carr, but they're paying a lot of money, so you can't really do that.
Yeah,
But with the
financially
Broncos
for
and the
them, yeah.
Raiders, they need that quarterback help. So who's to say they're not going to move up and take this number five pick from LA, or even take the number eight pick from Atlanta. Maybe Chicago tools down because they already took Caleb Williams at number nine. So Minnesota's giving up a lot, but I think it's more in the fear that another team will. And because Minnesota has the most to give up, LA is going to accept that trade over any trade that Denver and Vegas could give. It's just, is Minnesota really going to give up all that to get JJ McCarthy? I don't know. I mean, I think you need to do it because you're capitalizing on the receiving room of Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, even TJ Hawkinson. Like, you've got to get a quarterback in there fast before they all want to move on.
Yeah.
It's just, again, do they give up all that to move up?
Because they gave up quite a bit to get that second first round pick. I just looking at the draft, like they don't have a second or a third round this year. So
Oof. So if
if
they
they
do
did
that,
that,
they're basically taking JJ McCarthy and JJ McCarthy only.
yeah. And they didn't really make any moves in free agency either. So
I mean, who
you
knows? Maybe LA gives the second or a third in that as well.
yeah.
But I don't know. That's a tough one. It's tough to see, but yeah, that's where I've got JJ McCarthy going. If LA stays there, who do you think they take?
I
Did you
think
have them
they
staying
I
there?
think they take Malik Neighbors. He's just that other wide receiver. But again, the problem with taking Malik Neighbors is like he's like an explosive. He's Keenan Allen. He's an explosive wide receiver. They want to run the ball. It makes more sense for them to take Brock Bowers, but then they just signed two tight ends in free agency. So I don't know what they're gonna do. I think they're just gonna load up. Or they go defense. Like, again, I don't know. They don't really need a tackle. Joe Alt, maybe.
I mean, maybe they
Or
take
Darryl
Dallas Turner.
Slater. Yeah, but then at that point, you've got to move Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, which is like another
Yeah,
headache.
that's true. I mean,
More dead
that
cap, and
is
it's
true.
just.
I mean, you're right. Maybe they go and get Joe Alt. One of the weird mock drafts that I've seen is actually Tennessee trading up because they really want to get Joe Alt and maybe they're afraid of LA. So I actually saw one where Tennessee moved up to Arizona's fourth pick. Took Joe
Oh.
Alt, which caused LA to take Marvin Harrison, and then Tennessee ended up with, I think it was Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting one, but LA, you're right. They could take Joe Alt or they could take Malik Nabers. I mean, they moved on from both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Quentin Johnston, I still like him, but he proved to be a bit of a bust last year. Joshua Palmer's a good receiver, but again, you've got to get something for this Herbert before he wants to potentially move on as well. You lost
Yeah.
Eckler, so right now Palmer is the only weapon that I could really see doing damage. So who knows? Maybe they do stay at five and take Malik Nabers. That would be an interesting one. But again, in my world, I had Minnesota trading up. So because of it, we're now moving to New York at number six. And this is where I had them take Malik Neighbors.
Yeah, they need
Yeah,
offensive
you need a
skill
weapon.
position
You've
players.
lost Saquon Barkley. I think they lost a receiver. Did they lose a receiver?
They just didn't have any to keep. Like
Yeah, or maybe that was it.
even if they lost somebody, they didn't really have anybody major. Like they had Sterling Shepard there and like Wandale Robinson's there, but like those guys aren't gonna be able to compete in the NFC East with the likes of like CeeDee Lamb and AJ Brown as like game changers. So
I'd agree. Now, it's
yeah.
funny because the receiver I actually think in my mind is better, maybe just because I have, I don't know, a weird bias towards him. I think Rome Odunze is actually the second best receiver in this draft, but Malik Nabers, NFL scouts and people that know the game think he's better, so I'm not going to argue against him. I think he goes as a second receiver off the board in a very receiver heavy draft.
Yeah.
To the Giants. I don't think the Giants mess around here. They stay where they are. They're too much of a need. They're too much of a rebuild to trade down. Again, if they do, it'd be for one of those Minnesota, Denver, Vegas trying to move up. But I think you
Yeah.
stick here and you take Malik Nabers because you need that weapon, especially if you're sticking on Daniel Jones. Get him a weapon. Tennessee. So Tennessee, what don't they need? But here's where I actually have them taking Joe Alt.
Yeah, I agree. They just added Calvin Ridley in free agency, so do you
Yeah,
really
you've got
add?
Calvin Ridley, DeAndre
Yeah.
Hopkins. As you said, they drafted Trey Burks earlier. I mean,
They
you
got
lost Derrick Henry, but Didn't
They
they
got two
sign
running backs now.
Tony
They got
Pollard? Were they the
Tony
ones that picked up
Pollard,
Tony Pollard?
and then Tajae Spears is a good back.
Yeah.
So
So
their
Tennessee
offense
needs
is
that.
kind
I
of
mean, if you're
okay.
sorry?
Their offense, their skill positions is good
Yeah. If
from
you're gonna
like as
try
well
and
as they
build
could
around
be.
Will Levis, get him a blocker. I think
Keep
they
him
went
upright.
high. Didn't they take a first rounder in Skoronski last year?
Yep, I don't think he was very good though.
So they took a first rounder in Skoronski last year. I can't really name anybody else on that old line. I'm sure they have another good offensive lineman.
They added Cushenberry at
Oh yes,
center
I
in
like
free agency,
Cushenberry.
but they do not have a right tackle.
But
They
yeah, they don't
rolled
have it, and
through.
I desperately think they need a tackle. And Joe Alt, without a doubt, is the best tackle on the board. So Tennessee doesn't mess around here. Again, if anything, they move up, but I think they stick at seven because no other team before that needs a tackle, nor does a team need to trade up to take a tackle like Joe Alt.
No, you just kind of, with players like that, you kind of luck into those positions. It was like the drafts that you get when you're able to take like Quentin Nelson and they just fall to you and like Penei
Yes.
Sewell. Like when that happens, you see teams are just, they're not as bad as people think they are. But if you can take those O-line guys that are just there forever, yeah, Joe Alt, if he goes to Tennessee, you sign that guy for his entire career. Don't let him leave. But.
Yeah. He, I don't know why, but he really reminds me of who was that tackle? Joe Thomas, the tackle from Cleveland. He just strikes me as that guy. Day one, you're going to put him at left tackle and he's not going to move until he retires.
You don't let a guy like that leave.
Yeah. Or maybe in their case, right tackle because they don't have one, but he's going to stay a tackle.
He's better than Dylan Radunas,
Yes,
the
Riddens
who's
or something.
yeah, who's their current left tackle? Yeah, you move him to the right and then you put Joe Alt there at left.
Yeah. Boom. There's your protection for Will Levis. Moving on to Atlanta. So Atlanta, big question mark was what were they going to do at the quarterback position? Were they potentially going to trade up? In my dream world, if Justin Fields was to leave Chicago, he would have gone to Atlanta, to his home team. I think Atlanta, I wouldn't say fumbled because you got a really good quarterback in Kirk Cousins, but they, I think, dropped the ball because, again, I do like Justin Fields. I don't think, I mean, what did Pittsburgh actually have to give up for Justin Fields? Was it like a sixth or something like that?
Like a fifth or a sixth.
You're telling me Atlanta couldn't give up a fifth or a sixth for someone like Justin Fields? Granted, I get it. Kirk Cousins has done well. However, in some recent things, and a one knock on Kirk Cousins, he had like one playoff win in the past 10 years, and he's been on some pretty decent football teams. So I'm not going to say that Kirk Cousins is automatically putting Atlanta into Super Bowl contention. He's put them into playoff contention. Yes, they're going to make noise. They might win a round or two. But Kirk Cousins, I don't think, is a Super Bowl contending quarterback. Now, neither was Justin Fields, but Justin Fields had the potential because he's a lot younger. So, in an ideal world, if Justin Fields gets traded, which he did, I would have wanted him to go to Atlanta, but he didn't. Atlanta already picked Kirk Cousins, and he could shut me up and prove me wrong because Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback going into a system with some really good weapons. I don't want to knock on Minnesota because, again, he had Justin Jefferson, Addison, and TJ Hawkinson. But with Bijan, Pitts, and Drake London, he might have arguably his best weapon room ever. If they utilize Pitts correctly. If they don't utilize Pitts correctly, then that team with Justin Jefferson was without a doubt his best. Even Dalvin Cook was a good running back. But either way, Atlanta, to me, they don't move here. Again, they're in that kind of a rebuilding. They've already addressed the offense. They need defensive help. I've got them taking the best defensive player on the board in my eyes, and it's Dallas Turner.
Yeah. I like it. As we talked about kind of before we started this, he is that actual game changer that it could be on defense. His combine was unreal, and I think being the
Yeah.
first, would he be the first defensive player off the board? Yeah, I think that
He
makes
would
the
be.
most
I mean,
sense.
they also need a cornerback help because they don't have AJ Terrell. So, I mean, they could take Nate Wiggins, the guy from Clemson, or even Terrion Arnold. I think Nate Wiggins is the best corner. Quinyon Mitchell has shot up the board, but for some reason, I don't know why, I still have. Actually, no, Quinyon Mitchell is the best corner on the board. But again, I think they need the pass rushing help because you've already got Bates and Terrell in the secondary. So, not to say that's set. But you've got two players there where on the defensive end, I don't think they've got anybody that can either run out and stop a run or get into the backfield and really rush that quarterback. They've got a really good defensive tackle, don't get me wrong, but I think you've got to get that pass rusher, that elite guy on the edge, and it's Dallas Turner.
Yeah. And the other thing with Atlanta's defense right now, their best players on defense are all pushing 30. They don't really have that young guy in there to like that has hit besides AJ Terrell even in their back end, but Grady Jarrett's getting old. Alukin, I believe, is their middle linebacker, and he's also getting old.
Yeah.
So
So again, they address it.
yeah.
They've already addressed the offense with Kirk Cousins. Now you address the defense with a rookie. Now, here's Chicago. So in my eyes, Chicago has stuck with number nine. They're too rebuilding of a team to want to move on. Now, I think they could go something on the defense because, as we've now said, they've paired Caleb Williams with DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Cole Kmet. I've actually got them going on the offensive line. And I've got them going with, was it Taliaferro Fuaga out of Oregon State? I mean, they drafted an offensive lineman last year. It was a Darnell Wright that could pan out, but might not necessarily. He didn't necessarily look like he was for sure it. And I think one of the things that knocked the Chicago Bears and was a big knock on Justin Fields' kind of growth was the offensive line. He wasn't getting the protection. I mean, yes, he made a lot of questionable decisions to get that many sacks, but the offensive line to me wasn't anywhere that stands out as anything amazing. So I think if you go out and you get that rookie corner, I mean, the cornerstone rookie offensive lineman to block for Caleb Williams. Again, they need defensive help, but this is where I've got them going on the offensive line and taking Fuaga.
I like it. And again, that offensive line room is, you don't really know where guys fit. Tevin Jenkins, when he's healthy, is really good, but he's not been healthy. So you kind of take those five guys and just make the best group you can and go from there. And I think protecting Caleb Williams is a big part of his future. You give him the weapons, but if he just gets sacked five times a game, you turn into Sam Howell and then you throw a million interceptions.
Yeah,
So
pretty much.
who knows what happens. So
So yeah, that's where I think you go with the offensive lineman. Now, offensive linemen are always risky and shaky, you never know, but I think you go with a guy, and I think Fuaga, he can kind of play inside, bit outside as well. So he's also versatile depending on where Chicago wants to put him, but I think you put him at left tackle
yeah.
and keep him there. Now we're moving on to the Jets at number 10. So this is one where who knows what could happen? Initially, I had them potentially moving up to grab one of those top wide receivers. But now that they signed Mike Williams, the guy that LA just cut. So I think with Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, Breece Hall, you've already got the offense kind of figured out. Their defense, I mean, Sauce Gardner is really good. I could see them going potentially Jared Verse as a rusher. I could see them potentially going with another corner like Quinyon Mitchell to pair up with the Jets. But the one that I actually have here is one that they've had a lot of just injury struggles. It's continuously a problem for them. So I've got them taking Troy Fautanu from Washington, the offensive lineman. Now, I could definitely be swayed on this one. So I could be talked out of it. But again, they've had so many problems with that offensive line health. They drafted Mekhi Becton early. He's always injured. Elijah Vera Tucker, he seems to always be injured. So I see they take Troy Fautanu, who can play on the inside and then potentially move to the outside when an offensive lineman retires or moves on. Again, I could be swayed on this one, but I don't see them as a drastic needing a lot of holes. I think they're so far down because Aaron Rodgers was injured. And if he stays healthy, this team is competing for a playoff spot. And I think you throw somebody on that offensive line to be a cornerstone on a team that struggles so much on the injury side is why I had them taking Fautanu. But again, they need position players on defense that I could see them going that route as well.
Yeah, I think with them adding the two veteran tackles this year, in Tyron Smith, and who also has injury concerns, especially on that field at MetLife. But if you give him somebody to mentor and then kind of do what he's been doing in Dallas for the last few years, it's just you bring in a guard that you know is going to be at your successor to Tyron Smith later. I think the Jets kind of do the same thing, and I kind of like the idea of them taking the tackle.
Yeah, so that's exactly. I don't think he's going to play Taka right away. As
No,
you
I
say, he's
agree.
going to play that guard and shift out eventually.
Yep.
One of the interesting ones that I would actually love to see is he's fallen out of here. The Jets didn't pick him, and I had, or there was one where the Eagles traded up to one of the top picks, and they were the ones that took Troy Fautanu to do the exact same thing to be a successor for Lane Johnson. But I think the Jets don't pass up on it. I think Troy Fautanu is the guy you take, especially because they've struggled so much with the injury bug.
Yep.
And as you're saying, Tyron Smith can be a great mentor. Other than Trent Williams out in San Francisco, I can't think of a better mentor at the tackle position in the league right now.
No, I agree. Maybe Lane Johnson, but again, Lane is such a specific, he's not a similar player that other teams have. He's
Yes, he has fit
so tall and
Philadelphia
yeah,
perfectly.
and he's so lanky. So like not many of the new tackles coming in the league are built like him. They're not as fast and as athletic as Lane, which is why he's kind of succeeded as that right tackle for so long. You don't really fit the like strong, like I know Lane Johnson is strong, but he's not the same kind of offensive lineman as Tyron Smith. So kind of a bit hard to be that mentor, but seems to work out. But yeah, I like the Troy pick here with the Jets.
Nice. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty excited that a guy who actually knows football and likes football is kind of liking my picks. Now, he might have had different picks, but the fact that he's liking the picks that I've done, I'm pretty excited, guys.
Again, in my mock draft, I had it taken Brock Bowers.
Yes.
But
Brock
again,
Bowers was
nothing.
the other guy that I saw a lot of people going here, and I could easily see them taking him over Troy Fountain. Again, I could see him being talked out. Because you add Brock Bowers to again that weaponry that they already have, and Aaron Rodgers is set to push a really good offense.
Yeah.
I think Brock Bowers, I don't know why, but things that I've heard, he hasn't performed as well at the combines that people thought he would, and I think he's falling down the board a little bit, but without a doubt, he's still the best tight end, and the Jets need tight end, so I could easily see it happening here.
Yeah, but again, with the trade that we did earlier with Minnesota moving up and now having the Chargers here at 11, I think Brock Bowers fits what Harbaugh wants to do better, and they can just run the ball. He is a very good blocking tight end as well. So I think if we go with 11 here with the Chargers and take Brock Bowers, I think that fits nice into that offense and a
That's,
great weapon for Justin Herbert.
I mean, that's really good, but I'm not gonna lie.
You
Okay,
want to take a
so we'll talk
D&D?
about it. Odunze.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I can easily see the case for Brock Bowers for the exact same reasons as Rome Odunze. They need that offensive weapon. But as you said, they've already signed two tight ends. And,
Yeah.
okay, so, okay, maybe it's not a dead set in stone, but it's the fact that Rome Odunze, like a receiver to me, is more impactful than a tight end unless you've got a Travis Kelce or a George Kittle, which I mean, people are saying that Brock Bowers could be.
Yeah, but again, as you just kind of mentioned, with their moves they made in free agency, they signed Hayden Hurst and Will Disley. So these guys aren't at that level of being like a number one option.
They're
But then it
capable.
does, but they're capable. They've both shown flashes of being receiving options, and they're both really good blockers. Are you going to run a three tight end set all the time? Probably not. Doesn't really make sense. So I think, yeah, with the who they're missing on at wide receiver, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to go out and get Rome Odunze to be their number one guy. Palmer, I think with Josh Palmer being their other option at wide receiver, he fits in much better as like that second option, especially with the amount that they're gonna run the ball this year. So yeah, I think if we go Odunze
This
here,
is tough. You have me on Brock Bowers.
yeah.
Okay, yes. I like Rome Odunze. Personally, I like Rome
Yeah.
Odunze. I had them taking Rome Odunze.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Oh, dang. Okay. Brock Bowers. Ooh, that's tough. Okay,
Yeah.
so Denver here. This is where they potentially move up, but because they haven't moved up, I've got them taking Bo Nix.
Yeah.
They moved on from Russell Wilson. I could also see Penix Jr. going here. But I think Bo Nix is the fifth quarterback off the board. I think he's just a little bit more well-rounded of a quarterback than Penix Jr. And Bo Nix ends up going here to Denver.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really know what they want to do in Denver. They're so screwed on so many position groups, like wide receiver. It's Cortland Sutton and a bunch of guys that can't stay on the field. So you got to do
Yeah.
something. And I think they just kind of take that quarterback that's there and go with Bo Nix.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I don't think that's a surprise there. I think Bo Nix is definitely gonna go there. Okay, so now going on to 13 is Las Vegas Raiders. So Las Vegas Raiders could go a couple of different ways. Now, they also don't have necessarily quarterback help, but they just signed Gardner Minshew, who has his moments, but I've seen teams roll with worse quarterbacks into opening day than Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
That I don't think Penix Jr. is good enough to take at 13. That here I actually have them now taking, and this might be a surprise to some people, but I've got them taking Olu Fashanu. Now I don't know too much about the Vegas team, so I can easily be talked out of this one. But I don't know much of their offensive line. Now, their defense, they could also easily go somebody on the defensive side. Here's where I could see them easily taking someone like a Quinyon Mitchell, because they really need that cornerback help, like desperately.
Yeah.
Like desperately.
Desperately, that secondary is not good.
So
Their
I could I
best position group right now is easily their defensive line with Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins. But outside of that, their defense is
The other
not
one that I
good.
actually potentially threw around here was them trading back.
Yeah.
Potentially trading back, but I don't know who they'd trade back to. But now that I'm looking at it, Quinyon Mitchell here at 13 to the Raiders
Yeah.
might be the one, because they have nobody in that secondary.
Nope.
And you've
I
already
don't.
got Crosby. Who's the guy that Wilson that they
Yeah.
drafted last year? Bobby
34.
Spillane's pretty good. So their front seven is locked. They've got nobody in the secondary. Man, maybe they go Quinyon Mitchell here.
I think they go defense and they go secondary and take Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, he's the best corner on the board.
Yep.
Alrighty, so that's gonna mock things up a little bit on what I've written down here, folks, but we can wing this on the fly.
Let's do it.
Okay, so number 14. Now, this potentially is where Olu goes, because Trevor Penning they drafted 2 years ago and he really has not played well at all. I don't think the Saints have too good of an offensive line. So I could see Olu going here, but Olu also kind of gets beat here and there. They've also got Ramczyk already on the tackle position.
Yeah.
So because they've already got some kind of decent enough people there, I actually had them going on the defensive side, and this might shock a couple of people with how high I want to take him because of the injury bug problems. But I think if healthy, he can easily be the second best defensive player on the board as an edge rusher. I've got them going Leatu
Ooh, I like it.
Latu. So again, I can easily be talked out, and I could see him slipping because he's had injury problems and he's not necessarily performed the craziest in the combine. But when you look at his college stats, when you look at him play, I actually think Latu is, if healthy, the best edge rusher in the draft. I think he's better than Dallas Turner. But maybe I'm a little bit biased. My friends know, Spenny really knows this. Big fan of Samoans. Leatu
Yep.
Latu
Yeah.
Samoan. But I'm not just trying to give that the only edge. He's a really, really good player that I think he competes with Dallas Turner potentially next year if he stays healthy for rookie of the year with one of the corners. And again, I've got the Saints, who really struggled on the defensive pass rush. Now, Cam Jordan, Brian Bresee, they could get with some help. So again, I went Leatu Latu here, but I could easily be talked out. Someone like Olu could go here now at 14 as an offensive line. They also need some potential defensive back help. I don't think linebackers, there's a good enough one to go this high.
No, I agree.
But because of all of that, I went Leatu Latu here. What do you think?
Yeah, I saw highlights from his pro day, and that dude is freakishly athletic for his size. So I
He
feel
is.
like just Yeah, I watched the Saints a lot last year, and their defense, I think they probably had more interceptions last year than sacks. Like, they did not get to the
No, they
quarterback.
didn't. They
It
have a
was
really
rough.
good cornerback already in
Lattimore.
Lattimore. Yes.
Yeah.
So because of it, I don't think they need to get a second one when they desperately need that front seven help.
Yeah.
And because of it, again, another guy that could be talked into this is Jared Verse. But again, when healthy, I think Latu is just a better player than Verse. And
Yeah.
I'm going on the he's going to stay healthy side of it. So I'm sticking with Latu on this.
Yep, I like it.
Okay. Now we're going on to 15 with Indianapolis. So here, and I think a lot of people have said a dream pick, Brock Bowers, because Indianapolis and tight ends, they really like Brock Bowers. But I don't
They
know
love their
why.
tight ends.
I don't know why I don't have them taking Brock Bowers. Now, see, I don't. Brock Bowers is a good enough player that I could be talked out of the player that I have going here. But the player that I have is also because they desperately need the help on the corner side of things, is I had them going with Terrion Arnold. I don't know who their cornerbacks are. Not to say that they're not good. I personally don't know them.
Yeah, Kenny Moore is probably their best corner, but he's more their nickel package, like interior corner. But
Oh yes.
outside, yeah, not great.
So
They've kind of.
yeah. So that's again where I had Terrion Arnold going, but I could easily be talked into a Brock Bowers pick here because I like Pittman Jr. I think Josh Downs could develop into a good slot receiver. Jonathan
Yeah.
Taylor is going to have a hopefully full healthy season ahead of him. So if Richardson stays healthy, they've already got a good offensive line. Brock Bowers would complete that offense. Don't get me wrong. But I think because you've already got a good enough offense is why I had them going defensive back. But again, I can't name a tight end on that team either. So for that reason, I could easily see Brock Bowers going here at 15.
See, the thing with Tennessee or with Indianapolis is they have so many mid tight ends that are just like athletic and just big people. So like Mo Alie-Cox is like 6'7", 280. Like the guy's humongous.
Yeah, he's big.
Jelani Woods, Kyler Granson. Like they just have so many, and I don't think they keep trying to hit on these like fifth round tight ends, and it's not really working for them. But again, they have these other guys to fill in those positions. So I think if you go defense and you take that Nate Wiggins, Terrion Arnold, go corner. Yeah, I think you go defense for the Colts
Yeah,
here.
again, I think that they're a good enough team, I think, when healthy on offense, that are coached well, that if they solidify that defense and that AFC South, who knows? They could sneak themselves into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think Terrion Arnold competes with Nate Wiggins here, but I like Terrion Arnold a bit more than Nate Wiggins, just a bit.
Yeah, Nate Wiggins, like athletically, speed wise, is great, but I think Terrion Arnold probably fits that
Yeah,
more versatile role.
I think he's just a better complete guy when you don't have anybody out there. I think if Nate Wiggins was complimenting somebody, he might be the better
Yeah,
pick.
I
But
agree.
Terrion Arnold is the better, and no knock on it, I'm no NFL scout, but Terrion Arnold to me is the better build around corner, whereas Nate Wiggins is the better complimentary corner.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think that.
I think
But yeah,
just,
Terrion Arnold.
yeah, I think we go turn around here.
So Seattle at 16. So here, I'm going to let you know who I have, but I'm also going to defer to you because you are a Seattle fan. Now, we've had him drop far enough, so I could also see Brock Bowers easily going here, and I think you'd be happy with that. But
Yeah.
I had them take in Jaxson Powers-Johnson. I
Yep.
think he can play any position on the interior offensive line. I think the Seahawks need an interior offensive lineman.
Yes.
So that's where I had them going. But again, Brock Bowers is a good enough pick, but I'm going to defer to you on this one as the Seahawks fan.
Yeah, I think with Seattle, they have their tackles. They hit that a couple of years ago, and what they haven't had in so long has been a solid center. I think that'll just keep Geno up a bit more. They don't really need the offensive weapons. You kind of already have enough with both running backs and that wide receiver room. I think they'd rather. In my draft, I somehow had. What's his name? Dallas Turner falling a bit more, and I would have wanted him to kind of come in
Oh,
and
okay. That
fill
would
out
be a
that D
good pick.
line, but I don't think he's going to fall that far. So yeah, I had Jackson Powers Johnson just as that cornerstone center that they need
Yeah,
badly.
he's too good of an interior offensive lineman to pass up, and I agree. I think he goes right into center. And kind of like how we said with Joe Alt, I think Jackson Powers Johnson could potentially be one of those you start him day one and you don't really move him until he wants to move or he wants to retire. Yeah. I think he fits that mold pretty good. Is
But
he actually who
again,
you had the Seahawks taken at 16?
in my first draft that I did earlier, I had them taking Troy Fountain just because he's from Washington.
Yes, yes. If he falls, see, that's the other one where if the Jets do take Brock Bowers, I don't see Troy Fautanu going to any other team, and I think he falls to Seattle, and I fully agree that he could go there.
Because Seattle didn't really make any big moves in free agency. They brought on a couple. Oh, where could they fit offensive linemen? But I think taking Jackson adds for center here would be the best move they could make. But again, who knows what John Snyder is going to do? They might trade out. They don't really have
Yeah.
a lot of picks because they traded a second to get Leonard Williams last year, and then luckily they re-signed him, so it wasn't for loss. But I think they'll probably trade out of here. But my ideal pick for them here would be Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yes, I agree. Sweet. So here now, I'm going to do a little bit of a shocker on this one that people might disagree with. And if you want to shoot it down, go ahead. But Howie Roseman is a genius and he has a couple of positions available. And as a EAGLES Eagles fan, I have Jacksonville trading from 17 to 22. Now, I have Philadelphia also giving up one of their second round picks, either the 50 or the 53rd. I'm going to say the 50 to give it a little earlier. And we also pick up Jacksonville's potentially third round pick. Now, I don't really know if this happens because why does Jacksonville do this? Now, the reason I say Jacksonville only moves back five and they end up picking another second round pick. Now, I like Philadelphia doing this because I'm going to finish all of this off and say one of my favorite people, you know, I've talked about him a lot. I want Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, I think, is a fantastic player. Now, I've heard a lot of rumors of him going to Pittsburgh as well. Now, I don't think Cincinnati, I don't think LA take Cooper DeJean. I have them taking other positions here, but I've heard Cooper DeJean going to Pittsburgh. So I think because of it, as I'm biased, I don't think Philadelphia necessarily need to do this. They just signed CJ Gardner-Johnson. They already have Darius Slay. They already have Bradbury. They have an expensive secondary. So I've seen other things happen here. I've seen them potentially stay down and take one of the other corners. But because I love Cooper DeJean and I'm worried he's going to go to Pittsburgh before he falls to Philadelphia, Howie Roseman, as a genius, pulls some magic, moves up. Jacksonville only moves down five, but ends up picking up a second round pick in the process. And Philadelphia gets Cooper DeJean.
I like it. I know we've talked about Cooper DeJean going to Philly, so I was kind of waiting for you to
Yeah, I like it too much. I
throw a
mean,
trade in there. Yeah,
I think
it
the
makes
reason
sense
why I
with
like
the
it is,
successor.
yeah, that's exactly it. They had their injury bugs last year. Their defense fell apart at the end of the year. Not that they really were ever that great to start the year. I think Cooper DeJean, why he's an amazing fit for Philadelphia is, as I've said, they signed CJ Gardner-Johnson. They've got Slay. They've got Bradbury. But DeJean, to me, is the secondary player in this draft that can play any position. He can play the slot corner. He can play the outside. He can play the safety. If you want, he can be a returner for you. Again, I'm biased when I say a lot of this, but I absolutely love the guy. So I think Cooper DeJean, however you want to say his name, goes here at 17 to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. If it doesn't, Jacksonville, I don't think moves anywhere else, and Jacksonville could potentially go with a wide receiver now that they got rid of Calvin Ridley, but it didn't happen. Moving on, Cincinnati. Now, it's funny he keeps falling. Maybe Brock Bowers goes here to Cincinnati. However, because they just lost Jonah Williams and Joe Burrow keeps getting freaking injured all the flipping time, I had them going a tackle. Now, because I
They
had
just
Olu going
but
earlier, I had JC Latham going now, but Olu could be the tackle that goes now. However, they could easily go the defensive side as well, and take Byron Murphy out of Texas because they have nobody on the side.
They do.
Oh, right. They just went
They
out and picked
just,
up the big boy.
yeah, they just picked up Trent Brown from New England. So they have 2 6-foot-8 tackles.
That's right. They definitely aren't going to
So
go with an offensive tackle here then.
no, I
Okay.
think by
So
adding
they're not
that
going
and
Olu. They're not going J.C. Latham. They've already got Brown and Brown.
yeah.
Okay. So I could see them going with a defensive tackle out of Texas, but okay. So hear me for the storybook reason why I don't want them going him. So maybe here's where Brock Bowers goes, because I had Byron Murphy going to LA to replace Aaron Donald, who just retired. However, Cincinnati needs too much help on defense that I don't think Byron Murphy falls past this pick. I mean, maybe Brock Bowers goes, but because you already have Chase, who knows what's going to happen with T. Higgins? He could potentially be traded, which makes a room for someone like Brock Bowers. But because you have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins,
They just
Gesicki, I
added,
think, could be dependable. I don't think they go Brock Bowers. I think you have to go someone on that defensive side. Hendrickson's the only defensive lineman that I can think of, and he's not a write home to mom about player. I can't name another defensive player on that team.
Hubbard's the other one. He's decent, but yeah, you're
Yes.
right. They don't really have that
So, I
other
mean,
game
Byron Murphy the
rusher.
second out of Tennessee. Who's the kid out of Illinois? Yeah, Jerzon
Newton.
Newton. Who knows? Maybe even Nate Wiggins goes here. Basically, anybody on defense, and I think those are the top three defensive prospects available. I think a lot lately teams are realizing the prem power that a solid defensive tackle actually does. So I think it's got to be either Murphy or Newton here, and I think Murphy's just the better of the two.
And I think with their division, they're going to be, you got to play against Derrick Henry now. You got to play against the two-headed backfield in Pittsburgh with Najee and their other running back. So you're going to just be playing against and Cleveland. Like, you need that defensive line help to
Yep.
stop the run that is so heavy in the AFC North. Jalen Warren, sorry. The
Plus, if you
Pittsburgh
get that
running
guy to
back.
push the middle, that's going to free up the people like Hendrickson to get on the outsides.
For sure. So I think we go Byron Murphy here at
Yeah,
18.
I'm cool with it. I like Byron Murphy here. Okay, so 19. Now I've got Jerzon Newton. So again, so the Rams could go with a lot of different people here. They're definitely rebuilding. Now, I thought they were going to suck a lot more than they did last year, but their offense, I don't think they necessarily need much on offense. Nacua, Kupp, Higbee, I think Kyron Williams are dependable. Stafford, when healthy, is good. They've got, in my eyes, a decent offensive line. It's the defensive tackle or the defense now that Aaron Donald has retired. I can't name a defensive player on that team. Kolby Turner, that's a lie. He was a really good rookie for them last year. He came out of nowhere. But I'm just saying that name because I kind of play a lot of Madden and I know he developed pretty well. Other than that, I'm not sure I could name another player on this defense. So because of it, I've then got them taking the next best player, and it's Jerzon Newton. I could also see Nate Wiggins going here because he's a really good corner. But Jerzon Newton's just a wrecking force in the middle.
Yeah, you kind of got to replace Aaron Donald because that's just been the identity of your team for so many years. And having that defensive interior help is definitely needed for them. And again, the Rams, you're playing against Seattle, who likes to run the ball, Arizona, who's not really going to run the ball, and San Francisco, who only runs the ball. They literally run the ball with their wide receivers. So you kind of need that D-line help. So yeah, I think taking Newton here is the best fit for them.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, cool. Okay, Pittsburgh. So now the Pittsburgh can't get Cooper DeJean because my beautiful genius Philadelphia Eagles moved up and traded for him. I actually now have them going with another wide receiver, and I think Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU is the next best receiver on the board. Now I can be talked to. I could see Pittsburgh going a lot of different ways. Now they lead in a lot of different positions. I don't think Brock Bowers goes here. We've been saying his name a lot, but they've already got a really good tight end in Freiermuth, so I don't think they take Brock Bowers. I could see them going on the offensive line. I could see them going on the defense. But George Pickens, in my eyes, is the really only dependable receiver on that team. So I think if you're bringing in someone like a Russell Wilson and a Justin Fields to learn, go out and get somebody like Brian Thomas to complement George Pickens, because they lost. Didn't Diontae Johnson get signed somewhere else?
He got traded to the Panthers
Yeah, he got traded to the Panthers. So,
for a corner. They got Dante Jackson in that pick, so they don't really need the
oh, see,
corners
they don't
as
need the
much as
corner.
they
They
did.
drafted Joey Porter Jr. last year, so they don't need the corner. I think they've already got T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick's back there. They just signed Patrick Queen. So, unless they go offensive line here, which I don't know of an offensive lineman that really stands out now that we've named, maybe Hiraizu or Olu falls.
Yeah,
But
maybe.
Brian Thomas, I think, will complement. They need that offensive player. But who knows? Maybe this is where Olu or J.C. Latham go. They're also two really good tackles. So I think it's between Thomas or tackle for Pittsburgh here.
I think we go Thomas because, as you said, their only other wide receiver is Pickens. I know Allen Robinson wasn't great, but he was their third guy last year, so they don't
Yeah.
really have a lot of options. Who knows what that offense is going to be, especially if they're just going to run the ball, but you still need to throw it to somebody. So I think Brian Thomas is a good fit for them.
Yeah. Sweet. Miami. Now, okay, so this I could easily see Brock Bowers fall in Miami. The reason why I don't think Brock Bowers gets drafted by Miami is Miami already has a high-powered enough offense as is. You've already got Tua, Devon Achane, or Achane, however you pronounce his name. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. They've got another running back who was really good last year as well, Mostert.
Monster, yeah.
So because of it, yes, Brock Bowers completes that offense, but this is where I've actually got them going with Jared Verse, the defensive pass rusher. I think he's going to complement. Oh no, Wilkins left.
Wilkins is gone. Wilkins is in
Wilkins is gone. So Bradley
he's
Chubb
in
and Shaq
Vegas.
Barrett are your two kind of defensive lineman position. Javon Holland's a really good safety back there. I think they've already got a pretty good corner. They lost
They
Xavien Howard,
lost.
didn't
They
they?
lost. They lost Xavier Howard, but then they added Kyle Fuller.
That's it.
So they,
Kyle Fuller's the guy. So they could go a couple of different ways. I think tight end's probably the biggest need, but because they already have enough weapons on offense, aging Shaq Barrett and a
they just
Bradley Chubb
added.
who's still been inconsistent and has these injury problems, I got them going the next best pass rusher, the next best defensive guy, and it's Jared Verse. However, I just saw something pop on the screen that you just showed, and I forgot about Jalen Phillips, who could also do it.
But he's also coming off an injury. He also got hurt
So
last
I
year.
had Jared Verse here, but I could easily be talked into another position. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you kind of look at that team and it's like they don't really have any like glaring needs. Offense, you're right. They have so many guys. They just added Jonnu
Yeah,
Smith
so
at
Brock
tight
Bowers, I
end.
think the tight end is a big, the only need on offense, but I think because they have so many other offensive positions, you've got to go with the need that you have on defense.
And I think just for them having that rotational defensive line because of all their injuries they have, I think we go
Is there another
Verse.
interior lineman that I'm not thinking of that can, I mean, I know Newton and Mitchell, I mean, Murphy were the really two that I know. There's another interior lineman out of Texas, that big boy. Tavondre Sweat. I don't think he's
Yeah, but
good enough to
he,
go
I
in the
don't,
first round, though.
no, I think he's a much later draft pick.
Yeah, I don't think he's good enough to go in the first round, but I think I think why I like him a lot is he remind me of Jordan Davis in just a sense of people that size aren't supposed to run that fast.
Agreed.
But again, because of it, you know what? Maybe they go with Olu.
Who's their tackle right now? Teron Armstead, who's getting old.
Teron Armstead's getting old. I mean, I still like Austin Jackson, who they drafted out of USC, but he hasn't really performed very well. So maybe here's where Olu falls, or J.C. Latham. But Jared Verse is who I had going here. But I could, now that I'm thinking about it, could be talked into one of those. If they were to draft somebody on offense, maybe they draft somebody like Olu to protect for all these offensive weapons. But I think Jared Verse is just too good to pass up here.
Yeah, I agree. I think we go Jared Verse.
Jared Verse it is. Okay. So Jacksonville. Now, here's where So fun research. Again, I'm going to give the shout out to Pro Football Focus guys. Spenny's got it up and it's really making things a lot easier. So we're pulling up the Jacksonville Jaguars because I don't know their roster crazy well. But here, again, they traded for the 22nd pick from Philadelphia. I actually had them taking Quinyon Mitchell. No, not Quinyon Mitchell. He went already. Yes. No, Quinyon Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas, right?
Yeah,
Yes.
he's yeah,
So I had them taking Quinyon Mitchell because again,
Donnie Mitchell.
oh, it's a Donnie Mitchell.
Quinyen Mitchell's the corner out of Toledo, who I was.
Ah, that's the
That's
Kalino. Okay.
who.
Yes.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah.
So a Donnie Mitchell. So, okay, maybe I don't have a Donnie Mitchell this high. Oh, okay. Looking at it, here's where they go Olu. I have Olu falling here.
Yeah, Zach Harrison is not that
So,
not been good, or Anton Harrison. See, I don't even know
no,
his name.
he has not been good. So, the Evan Engram, I really like. Christian Kirk, I think, could come into his own. They just signed Gabe Davis. Travis Etienne is good enough, so I don't think they draft a receiver. Again, it's a
No.
receiver heavy one. Someone like a Xavier Worthy or Xavier Leggett, or maybe even an Adonai Mitchell could go here. But I've got them going on that offensive line because they've got to get the protection for Trevor Lawrence and Olu or J.C. Latham are the two in my eyes. And I
Yeah.
think Olu is the better of the two. So here's
Yeah.
where I have him going.
Yeah. Protect Trevor because he gets into situations where he doesn't know what to do. And it's just because he's just facing that front side pressure, and it's
Yeah.
he needs a
And this works
tackle.
out
And
for
it
Jacksonville because they could have got him at 17, but now they moved back for 22, and that's why they say yes to that trade. Boom. There it is. So, Chargers. Now, hear me out in an ideal world. This is where I think they go crazy, and I think they go Brock Bowers. So I know we talked out of Brock Bowers with the 11th pick, but Rome Odunze was too good of a position to pass up. But now I think, yes, they have a lot of tight ends, but none of them are that big playmaking guy, and Brock Bowers can be. I like Brock Bowers a lot. I think if you lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, but pick up Brock Bowers and Rome Odunze, you keep Justin Herbert pretty flippin' happy. That's a lot of weapons that Harbaugh now has to work with. But again, they went pretty heavy on the offensive side with Odunze that I could easily see them going on the defensive side.
I see them going defense.
I like Asante Samuel Jr. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Mack or Bosa? Their contracts are crazy, so I could easily see them moving on from one of those two. But I really like Derwin James. I like Asante Samuel. I
See,
think they
that's why I
moved on
think.
from both Murray and Hendricks, so they have no linebackers. So I could see, I don't know who the best linebacker in the draft this year actually is,
Probably Peyton Wilson out of North
but I
Carolina.
don't think he's a first round pick. That's the thing, where
Ooh,
maybe Nate
yeah.
Wiggins goes here
I
to the
think, as we
Chargers.
talked about earlier, with Nate Wiggins being that complementary piece to fit in with Asante Samuel and Derwin James, and even Alonte Gilman's been solid. But I think, yeah, Nate Wiggins, just because the defense isn't great, and as a complementary piece, he has the speed to make up for their shortcomings. I think Nate Wiggins, is the player here.
Yeah, so Nate Wiggins to the I like Nate Wiggins to the Chargers a lot. I like this.
Yeah.
Man, this guy is falling. I'm not gonna lie. If you had me do
But
this
again,
mock
he's
draft a
a but
month ago, I
again,
would have had Brock Bowers going top 10.
yeah, but again, as a tight end, you're such a niche
It's a
position.
niche. Okay, so Dallas. Hear me out a little bit.
The worst player in the draft, they should take that guy.
So maybe Dallas. No, they've already got a good tight end. Okay, so hear me out on this one. This is actually where I think a little bit of craziness happened. I've got Kansas City. Now, I don't know a trade that's really going to do this. This is why I don't know if it's going to work, but I've got Kansas City moving up. They're trading their 32 and then some other kind of package. I don't know what we can put with this, but Kansas City trades their 32 and moves up to get Dallas's 24. Maybe they add in their third round pick. Or their second round pick to move up. Again, this is tough. Why I don't know is because Dallas, I don't know what direction they're going in. I don't know what they're going to need. So maybe Dallas just retools if Kansas City can offer a good enough package. Why I think Kansas City moves up is I think Kansas City wants Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Now they just signed Hollywood Brown, the speedster from Arizona, but I think Xavier Worthy could be the closest thing to Tyreek Hill. Since Tyreek Hill was drafted. So because of it, I've got Kansas City moving up to get somebody like it. Now, Dallas needs running back. I just don't think a running back's good enough to go in the first round. I could also see them taking Adonai Mitchell. I could also see them taking Keon Coleman. Maybe they even go Xavier Worthy here. But it's tough. I don't know. Maybe Kansas City can't move up. I just think
I don't think Kansas City needs to give that much up
maybe they just got
for.
Hollywood Brown, who's that speed threat.
Yeah, I think they can wait on wide receiver for the mid rounds because they also have Rashee Rice. They kind of don't really need to give up that much. But I think Dallas, as we kind of talked about earlier with them losing Tyron Smith, I think they need
Do they
that
take J.C.
tackle.
Latham?
Yeah, I think so.
I like J.C. Latham to Dallas. I actually really like J.C. Latham to Dallas. They just signed CeeDee Lamb. They always seem to get production from their pass catchers. They've got a good tight end already in Ferguson. Again, none of the running backs are good enough. So yeah, J.C. Latham to the Cowboys. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense for them.
Now, the Packers. Packers, I actually have taking Graham Borton. They're the big boy out of Duke because they just lost Bakhtiari. And I don't know who they have to necessarily replace him. Now, they already have another good offensive lineman, if I'm correct, but one offensive lineman out of four is not going to cut it. I think Jordan Love, he's shown his flashes that you could build around him. Now, here I could also see them going with a receiver, but I think Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson have shown their flashes, even Reed has shown flashes that they could develop
And
into a
Wicks,
pretty good
yeah, I think
receiving room.
their skill group is
I
pretty
think
set.
adding another receiver at this point in the draft is just going to be a receiver like one of these three. It's not going to be a bona fide for sure thing number one receiver.
No.
Josh Jacobs, they've already signed. Now they could go on the defensive side as well, but because of it, I've got them going on the offensive line, and I have Graham Barton as the next best one. There is also another tackle out of Georgia that I could see going here, but I don't know why I like the Duke guy just a bit more.
Yeah, just reading PFF's stance on him, he could switch from tackle to interior. So I think the fit with Green Bay of just kind of see where he fits and build around him, build around Jordan Love. They have the skill players, I think, offensively, especially with the strength of the NFC North in like the Lions and now
Yeah, and you've got to
Minnesota
get somebody
and.
to, yeah, you have to get somebody to pass rush Hutchinson or pass block.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's a good point. So I think we go Graham Barton here just
Even
because.
the Bears picked up the dude from Commanders last year. Sweat, Montez Sweat.
Montez Sweat, yeah.
The Vikings.
So they lost to Neil Hunter, but
Yeah.
I don't know what Minnesota's going to be like this year. They're
Yeah, who
losing a
knows? But
lot of
either way,
players.
I think they go with the offensive line here. And I think it's either Mims or Barton, but I like Barton more.
Yeah, I think we go Barton.
Sweet.
Okay.
Okay. Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay. Oof. Actually, looking at the draft, we've moved a lot of the things around. I originally had, because of things falling in certain orders, I had Tampa Bay going with Nate Wiggins. I had him falling this far, and I think the Tampa Bay needed cornerback help after just trading away on Davis. But Wiggins is no longer on the board. Who knows? Maybe they go somebody like a Kamari Lassiter. Nope, maybe not that. I don't know. Who do you think Tampa Bay goes? Maybe they go Brock Bowers there. Maybe this is where Brock Bowers goes.
Yeah, I could see that.
You've already got Mike Evans. You got Chris Godwin. You've just re-signed Baker. I think they've got a good enough offensive tackle position. Maybe they go with somebody on the offensive line, but I don't know. I don't know enough of who's left. Maybe this is where somebody like a Amarius Mims goes. Because I've also been told that Amarius Mims could potentially play on the inside, but he's 6'8", 350 pounds. Like, he has to play tackle.
He
And
ain't
you've
going
already got two
inside.
good tackles there that also aren't going to shift into the middle. So I don't think he goes here to Tampa Bay. Maybe Brock Bowers goes. Maybe this is where Brock Bowers goes.
Yeah, I like Bowers. I think he fits
I think he fits
what.
really well. He's going to slide really well in with Godwin and Evans and become a
Yep.
nice complementary piece to all of that.
Yep.
I like it. Okay, Brock Bowers to Tampa Bay. I like it.
Yep.
All right, Arizona. So Arizona got this pick from Houston, which is why you're not going to hear us mention this name. And they have a second pick. Now, Arizona, I had taking a corner here. I don't know why I had them taking Kamari Lassiter. But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think he's that. I think he's fallen a lot in draft boards. I think, again, this is a name that was really good a couple of months ago, but he's really fallen off lately. But I had Kamari Lassiter here. Again, I could really be talking to a lot of different things. I don't know where Arizona's going to go. They're rebuilding so much, but because they took Marvin Harrison Jr. on offense, I think they go with somebody on defense. Who knows? Maybe they take somebody like Adonai Mitchell here, to just take two receivers to build around. Maybe even someone like a Kool-Aid McKinstry. I love the name Kool-Aid, and I could see Kool-Aid easily going here. You know what? Maybe Kool-Aid goes to Arizona.
I'm kind of thinking Kool-Aid. I'm thinking that defense is just
The
so
defense is
bad.
too dog poop.
It's so
I
bad.
don't know who their corner is. I
Vaughn
think they
Murphy
picked up
is.
Murphy Bunting.
Yeah.
But Buda Baker, who knows what's going to happen with him? But I think they've got to go defensive back help here.
Yeah.
They might even need to go with defensive front help here. I just don't know a defensive front player that's good enough to go. I think corners are the next best thing on the board, and Kool-Aid McKinstry is the next best one.
Yeah, I think we go with Kool-Aid here.
Yeah, Kool-Aid it is. Kool-Aid to Arizona. Buffalo. So Buffalo, I've got, and he jumps up a little bit. I like him a lot. But Buffalo is where I've got going with Xavier Leggett. Now they just signed Curtis Samuel, and I think they had another receiver last year do pretty damn good for them. So maybe they don't need that guy, but I thought they lost Gabe Davis, get somebody to complement Stephon Diggs. But again, they just signed Curtis Samuel, so maybe they don't need. I don't know of a position that this team overly needs. I think they've got a good defense. I think they've got a good offense.
They need a safety because they had to cut both because they don't have any money.
Safety. Okay. So
Yeah.
this is where I don't know many safeties in the draft this year. I know there's a guy out of Minnesota who's pretty good. I think there's also a safety, is a Major Burns out of Georgia is the other name that I know. But this is where I don't know many safeties. So maybe I'll defer to you because I would. Oh, not Georgia. It's not Major Burns. It's Javon Ballard.
Yeah,
So
even, yeah,
Javon
no.
Ballard is the other safety that I think is pretty darn good, but I'm going to defer to you because I do think the Bills maybe need safety the most. But I had them taking, actually jumping up with Xavier Leggett, but I could easily see him not going there and it being a safety.
Yeah, I'm looking at Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota just because they lost Poyer and Micah Hyde.
Yeah.
They just need to fill that draft with young guys
Yeah,
and
so I like, I mean, Ballard out of Georgia is a name that I knew, but in the recent kind of mock drafts that I've kind of seen and certain scout and combine stuff, I know there's that safety out of Minnesota that's also decent. But because I know the guy out of Georgia, I'm going to say his name. But this is where I'll defer to your football knowledge on which safety you think is better.
yeah, looking through what PFF has as well, I think we go Tyler Newbin, just rank a little bit higher on their draft board. And again, safety is not a strong part of this draft, but I think we go Tyler
Is
Newbin.
Tyler Newbin's that guy out of Minnesota then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. So Tyler Newbin it is. Sorry, Tyler Newbin to Buffalo. Now, Detroit. So I actually have, and maybe I'm going to change my mind after looking at the roster, but I have Detroit going with Keon Coleman here.
They need a corner. It doesn't really matter now. They need a corner. Cam Sutton just got released because of some
Oh, did they?
off field warrants were issued, so he's no longer on the team. So
Oh
they,
shit. Okay, because I was gonna
yeah.
say get Keon Coleman to get the big boy to compliment. But fair enough. They already have someone like Williams who could turn around Jameson Williams. Okay, corner. So if they need corner, the only other name I know is Kamari Lassiter, but this is where I'll refer to you because I don't know if there's any other good ones out there. Kamari Lassiter is just the only other name that I know in things that I've heard and read.
Yeah, Kamari Lassiter seems like a really good versatile corner. So I think we go with Lassiter here.
Ready?
As John knows, the Georgia guys are good, so
Yeah, I mean Georgia is filling Philadelphia's locker room. So
yeah.
Kamari Lassiter, I like it. He goes here. I've seen some mock drafts actually of Kamari Lassiter going to Philadelphia 22, and I'm just like, are they just making Georgia in the pro leagues?
I think so. It's just the Georgia Eagles.
Okay, so 30 with Philadelphia, I mean with Baltimore. So this is actually where I had Kool-Aid going to complement, because they're losing a lot of corners. Now they have Marlon Humphrey, who I really like, but they're about to lose a lot of corners. So I can't name another one who they're going to keep after this. But they just went out and they signed Derrick Henry. King Henry is going to complement Lamar Jackson. I think they've got a really good thing to going on offense. I think Zay Flowers is a really good receiver. However, I've got them going with either Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Leggett, the either one of those two wide receivers. Maybe Adonai Mitchell's the better of the two. So I think they go with the receiver because that's really what Lamar Jackson needs. Yes, King Henry's going to help, but Lamar Jackson needs another pass catcher. If Mark Andrews stays healthy, that's going to help. But they had a number one defense. Yes, they lost Patrick Queen, but I think Roquan Smith was the leader of that linebacking core anyway. So because of it, I think they go with the receiving side, and misses maybe where they go with Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I had them taking Ladd McConkey, but Adonai Mitchell, I think, fits that room well. A nice little compliment. And I feel like he will work out there in Baltimore.
Again, they've got to go with it. So now here, San Francisco picks. I have them now. Maybe I'll change my mind after looking at rosters, but I have them going with Mims, the big boy out of Georgia. So I know now people are going to be very, very like, what the hell? They have Trent Williams, and I know their other tackle's decent enough as well. But Mims at 6'8", 350 pounds, I think is just too enticing of a prospect to pass up, because Trent Williams is on the older side, and I don't know how long his contract is. I don't know. I think at his level, he'd play for a lot longer. But maybe Mims is one of those people you can put on the inside and shift to the outside. Now, they also need a lot of defensive help, so I could easily see them going on the defensive side here. But San Francisco, I've got them going on with Mims here. Again, and maybe because Mims is too good of a prospect that I think he can't fall out of the first round, that I wanted him to go here to San Francisco. So I could be swayed out of this, but that's my pick. San Francisco goes with Amarius Mims to be the predecessor on that offensive line.
Yeah, I think as we kind of talked about earlier with these other offensive linemen in this draft, you send them to a team that already has that established guy just to learn from, and San Francisco will find a way to use him. All they want
I
to do is
mean,
run the
yeah,
ball.
their other tackle, McKivitz, that's his name. He has his injury problem. So who's to say Mims might be a starter in season one? But again, I went with the offensive line because I think a team like that, their defense is already too good. Their defensive line's too good. Their corners are all right enough. And I don't think there's another one that jumps out to me in this position. They've got the best linebacker pairing in the league. So you go with the position that's going to rebuild for the future, and it's that offensive line.
Yep, I like it.
Now, rounding out our first round. So again, because I had Kansas City moving up to Dallas and they took Xavier Worthy, that didn't happen in our mock here, because Dallas really wouldn't do that, and Kansas City wouldn't move up that high to get somebody when they already just got Marquise Brown. So I have no idea who Kansas City is going to pick. Maybe they go with an offensive lineman, because that seems to be a pretty good, if you never know what you're going to get a good offensive lineman. Especially because didn't they just lose Brown? So I don't know who's going to be on their offensive line.
They need a tackle.
So they need a tackle pretty desperately. I think their defense is just coming off the best defense they've had. So I don't think they need to make a move there. Again, who's to say? I think they could go with the wide receiver. So this is where
I
they
don't think
go
they
with the
need to take
tackle.
wide receiver here. They can add somebody later he's going to be your third or fourth option. You can get a second or third round guy. If not, Sky
I
Moore
think
can
you got
still
to go
kind of
offensive
fit that
line.
role. Tyler Guyton out of
Tyler Guyton
Oklahoma.
out of Oklahoma, I like it. Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma is the last one, because I agree, being such a wide receiver heavy draft, they'll get a wide receiver in the second round if they need to. That Guyton for sure is a starter day one now that they've lost Brown Jr.
Yep, I agree.
All righty. Well, there you have it. There's our first round. I actually quite like what we've put together. I don't know, Spenny, if there's a way to potentially save this and send it to me, because I want to compare this to what happens on draft day. Now, I know for sure things aren't going to necessarily work out the way we've said they're going to work out, but I'm very excited if even just certain things fall the way we want them to fall. Again, some of my picks are biased in teams that I like and players that I like and going early and going to teams that I think are good fits. But I like our mock draft.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, so that's our first round. Now, being an Eagles fan, I'm also going to talk. So if I'm in my dreams world, Eagles still have a second pick. They now have either the 50 or the 53rd pick because, again, in my mock draft, they traded away. So the Eagles, I've actually got taking Kingsley Suamataya out of BYU if he falls that far. So Kingsley Suamataya is, I don't think he's realistically going to fall that far. I think he's a good enough tackle that he might go late first round, early second round. But he's that guy that I think can play interior and exterior. He can play the interior and either side. And I think he's going to be a really good predecessor to Lane Johnson. Now, again, I don't know if he's really going to fall that far. And if he doesn't fall that far, this is maybe where a Javon Ballard, I would like him to go there. That would be really awesome. But moving on, third round pick, I would love if we got somebody like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I think we need linebacking help. And I think Jeremiah Trotter, his father played for the Eagles. And I think Jeremiah Trotter coming to the Eagles would be a really, really good pick there. I think that would just be really, really fun. Fourth round, it's a guy I don't know why I've fallen in love with him, but it's a safety out of Miami, James Williams. I think he is a 6'5", just do it all player that I think if you put him in that, again, that secondary needs help, that he can go there. And then Howie Roseman could work his magic with the five through later picks. But in my ideal world, that's how it would go. I just don't think Kingsley Suamataya is going to fall that far. And who knows, maybe they don't trade to get that third round pick in Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and they end up taking him in the second round with somebody like a Jalen Polk. He would be a really good second round pick as well. So that could be interesting, but that's my Eagles dream. I don't know if you thought of a Seahawks dream, Spenny.
Not really. I haven't got that far into it yet. Just kind of been looking at the first round guys for a lot of the league, but I
No,
just
fair
know
enough.
that Seattle for their needs, it's kind of just filling out that linebacker room. They didn't really do enough in free agency to my liking. Jerome Baker will be a good fit, but they still have quite a few positions that they're missing. But yeah, I just want that interior offensive lineman right now. That O-line is so bad.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. So one of the big names that I'm going to talk about, I shouldn't say, actually it's a big name that I'm going to talk about that didn't get drafted in the first round that I actually could see a lot of those QB needy teams moving up in the second round, and it is Michael Penix Jr. So I could easily see the Raiders. I could easily see the potentially even the Saints trading up for an early second round pick and getting a Michael Penix Jr. Maybe they don't even need to trade up. Maybe he falls far enough. But I think Michael Penix Jr. to the Raiders might be actually a really good pick to learn behind Gardner Minshew, if not compete for the starting job. Because I don't think Gardner Minshew, as much as I said, he's a capable starting quarterback, he's not going to get you into the playoffs in my eyes, not with the team they have at least. So I think Penix Jr. is a name to watch where he goes in the second round. And then the other name, I don't know why I like it, is Jatavion Sanders. I think he's the second best tight end this year after Brock Bowers. So he could go to a good team somewhere. But the things to watch for is a wide receiver heavy draft this coming up this year. So that's going to be fun to watch. But there's our mock draft. I kind of like what we put together, Spenny. I've said it a couple of times here already, but some of the trades might not happen for sure. But I think the players we've got to the teams we've got them on are really, really good fits. And I
Yeah,
don't
I
think
agree.
anybody's necessarily reaching too high for trades we've mocked or players we potentially drafted.
I agree. And just kind of going back to what you were saying before about the players that weren't in the first round, that second round, early second round, is going to be straight complementary wide receivers. And it's just going to be a run. And
I
again,
mean,
those
I've said
kind
them
of
a few
back.
times already. Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman. I said a few of those names already.
Ladd McConkey, yeah, he had a tremendous pro day. I didn't know he was that athletic.
They are going early in that second round.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, There you have it, folks. That's our wonderful first round of the NFL mock draft that's happening in April. Sit tight. If you guys want to, if you wrote everything down, if you want, maybe I can share this with you guys. Maybe I'll have a website by then. I'll post this on there and you can follow along to see how much of a genius we actually are. But either way, there you have it. That first round mock draft. And if you have made it this far, thank you very much for sticking around. I know it's very football focused, very draft focused, so it might be dry. If you put it on mute, it's about to be done, so thank you for the listen. If you listened to the whole thing, I hope you enjoyed it. It's without a doubt my longest episode to date, so thank you for bearing with it. I had a lot of fun again. Every once in a while, I'll probably do these special edition ones where I do things like the mock draft where they take a little bit longer. But I'll probably try and add something else. Again, I've been talking about adding a second episode, so who knows, maybe that happens one day soon. But thank you for bearing with it as long as you have. And as always, Hakuna Matata.